Dick.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
And welcome back in hour number three of the program. And joining us now on the line, we have the New Bedford City Council President, Shane Burgo, joining us. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Tim?
Doing all right. And I know we've only got you for a limited time today, but we will make the announcement here at the end of our discussion about when you're going to be joining us on a regular basis. So, you know, we'll give that a little tease right now. But how has it been going so far in the first couple of weeks of your tenure as council president?
It's been great. You know, it's moving fast. You know, oftentimes when I was asked that actually probably about a week after taking on this new role. And at that time, I felt like I had been in the role already a month because of the amount of emails and work that you really have to dive into, not just obviously assigning committees, but all of the obviously a lot of the other work that comes along with this role, working with department heads and the mayor's office. It's a lot more involved than I think the general public probably understands.
And assigning the committees, that's something that is usually, you know, typically the first kind of big move of a council president. What went into the thought process? And we can get into the changes that you made into the structure of these committees. But overall, just like, how did you approach wanting to place people onto these committees?
Yeah, I'll say I think one of the most significant and important parts of being council president is making sure these committee assignments are done quickly and as effectively as possible, mainly because I think a lot of the attention is put on our city council meetings. But I would really want to let the public know that our committee meetings are a lot more important than our city council meetings. And the reason why that is because all the work actually gets done in committee. You'll notice a lot of the times during, for example, tonight we have a city council meeting at 7 p.m., which you can either watch from home through our live stream online or come in person to the city council chamber at City Hall on the second floor. But oftentimes at the city council meeting, we're just approving the work that was already done in committee. So you'll hear a lot of maybe speeches, or sometimes you won't hear speeches because all of our work or speeches have been done in committee. So that's why for me as council president, a lot of the chairs, making sure you have the right chairs or in some cases vice chairs to make sure that these committees are doing that work and scheduling those meetings and getting it done. And that's why this year, as I think you wrote in your, I think you did the article showcasing some of the changes that I've made to better streamline our productivity with these committees, because I felt that we have already a number of standing committees. And what I mean by standing committees means they're worked into our city ordinances. So they're recurring standing committees that even council presidents can't just get rid of, versus compared to special committees that can be created or dissolved by the council president.
And in that vein, you got rid of the special committees on cannabis regulation and host community agreements review and the payment in lieu of taxes, the pilot program, because you felt like those were redundancies for the way these other standing committees were handling some of that work.
Correct. And, you know, I'll say, like, for example, the cannabis and host agreement, I want to say going back at least 2 years now, that committee didn't have any motions pending in their list. It had just been sitting there. There was obviously a time when there was a large influx where that committee was needed or felt that it was needed. But it's been kind of sitting there not doing anything for a while. So at this point, it felt kind of unnecessary to hold it there and give someone a chair of a committee that really wasn't functioning. And then, you know, tonight there actually happens to be a motion before us regarding a host agreement, but that will most likely end up being referred to appointments and briefing, which is capable of handling such a situation. So that's why, to me, it just, again, seems redundant to create a whole separate committee, which will have to find time on the calendar to schedule and get people there for. Same thing with the pilot committee, which is the acronym for Payment in Lieu of Taxes. The idea that was brought forward by then Council President Carney, she wanted the idea to be heard, which I hope that we still will hear it. The thought process is on tonight's agenda. I was like, what's the word I'm looking for? Tonight's agenda.
You got to know that word as council president.
On tonight's agenda, we'll have to go through the process of what we call discharging it. So we'll have to essentially pull it from that committee, which takes 8 votes of the council to pull out. And then once it's properly before us in the city council, we will then, we'll then refer it to the finance committee, where I think it is an appropriate committee to have that discussion about taxes is the finance committee, where we can meet with the auditor or the CFO to talk about the different properties that may potentially be able to participate in this program. So I'm hoping, obviously, my colleagues will vote that way to see fit that we continue to facilitate the discussion around that idea of a payment in lieu of taxes program. I myself, I will say, I'm not probably, I don't think the program might work, but I support the idea of my colleagues wanting to present an idea. And I think that Councillor Morad, who I have selected to be the chair of the Finance Committee, is probably best suited more than anyone to facilitate that conversation.
And one of the other changes you made was to the committee that had been known as the special committee that had been known as the Affordable Housing and Homeless Affairs Committee. You've changed that and shortened it to just the Housing Committee, which is not just to take a committee name that was a mouthful and pare it down. It's also kind of a redirect of some of the focus.
Yes. I was a little nervous about that one, mainly because it's become somewhat of my baby. As many know, that committee was created, and I was when I first was elected, and I've been chairing it ever since. And it was a little difficult for me kind of to give it up. To be honest with you, my first thought process was everyone was already calling it the Housing Committee. And so it was, in my mind, it was like, well, let's just change it to the Housing Committee for that mindset. But also the more deeper meaning of the fact that at the end of the day, the solution that I often talk about, even when I ran for office, when we talk about economic development, when we talk about oftentimes when people talk to me, how do we get our taxes lower and how do we drive up revenue? How do we improve our streets, our neighborhoods, and how do we improve public safety? And I often said, anytime you're going to ask me a question or about one of the challenges that our city is facing, it's always going to circle back to housing. There's so much, intersectionality when it comes to the challenges that we face. But, the thing is, housing is the foundation. I think if you don't have housing, reliable, and oftentimes we use the word affordable, but now what we're seeing a lot of times is what's affordable to me might not be affordable to you. And so that's also why I wanted to get rid of that word, because it's so, I don't know the word I want to use, but it's just been so mischaracterized at this point where I felt that we needed to just, again, let's put a focus lens on housing, because at the end of the day, that's the discussion that we need to be having around all facets of the discussion is just housing. When we talk about homelessness or the unhoused population, it's how do we help them? We build more housing. Well, temporary housing, shelter housing, whatever type of housing, the word that we're keep using is housing. So that's why I felt it was necessary to just really emphasize that word. And again, as you pointed out, it's just easier to be able to say housing. I hope that allows people to really understand the focus that we as a city council, I think, have really been working on the past at least 3 or 4 years now.
And also I thought that it was interesting that when you're deciding who's going to be on these committees, the chairmanship of that committee went to Councillor Abreu, which, I understand he's the person that created that committee in the first place, so it makes sense in that regard. But I also think it makes sense, too, from the perspective of he is a homeowner. He is a business owner, so he pays two different types of taxes in the city. He is somebody who is a little bit more conservative leaning than you are. People challenge you as being the progressive person all the time that wants to, just hand out homes to everybody. You actually have somebody here that's going to be a different viewpoint chairing that committee now, or at least a little bit of a different perspective on it. And I'm going to assume that was by design.
Yeah, and I think you'll see that through all of my assignments that I provided out. I think there was some concern that, given the people that voted against me as council president, I think you're well aware that Councilor Abreu did not vote for me for council president, and neither did, for example, Leo Choquette. But I'm not someone who is going to allow those kind of things to keep me from putting people in those positions to serve New Bedford, because as I mentioned in my speech the night that I won the presidency, we need to work together. The work of government is hard but necessary, and we need to do this work together, not just for ourselves, but for the over 100,000 plus residents of New Bedford that are relying on us to do this work to help improve their lives and improve the neighborhoods.
Well, that does lead to a question that I'd wanted to ask you. And while it's not uncommon practice that if somebody gets the council presidency and if somebody ran against them, that other person doesn't get any chairmanships, it is kind of glaring that Councilor Oliver does not have any chairmanships of any of these committees. Is there anything that we should read into that?
Well, no, I think what you should read into is the number of he's listed as vice chair of a number of committees. Last year, Council Oliver was given the opportunity to chair a committee. Unfortunately, no meetings were scheduled, and the work expected of a chairperson was not completed. I'm unsure of why that was the case, but as someone who's also chaired a committee in my freshman year, as I pointed out, I was given the Affordable Housing and Homeless Affairs Committee. I know firsthand the role comes with significant responsibility. Like myself, Councilors Pereira and even Choquette also received chairmanships during their first year and rose to the occasion, ensuring their committees were active and productive. So, this year I felt it was important to take a different approach with Councilor Oliver, to help support his growth and development as a leader. I appointed him as vice chair of several of our committees where he can observe and learn from some of our more seasoned committee chairs. I think this arrangement, I think it will help allow him to grow and gain more insight into the responsibilities of being a chair, but also provides him the opportunity to step into the role when needed. Sometimes if a chair is not available or has to step down from the dais, I'm confident this will be an opportunity to better prepare him to take on greater leadership responsibilities in the future. It's really my belief that everyone has the potential to succeed when they're given the right tools and mentorship. And I really do look forward to seeing what Councilor Oliver can accomplish with this added support.
And I do have to point out, Council President Burgo, that your critics are probably saying, well, but you also chaired a committee that didn't have a lot of meetings and were returned as the chair of that committee as well.
Oh, okay. But again, I chaired those. I had a meeting. So that's the thing. It's difficult to, if he had at least, for example, as I pointed out, Councilor Choquette had a meeting of the airport committee meeting. He had only one, but he still had a meeting. He showed that he knew how to schedule a meeting, how to hold a meeting, how to conduct a meeting, follow Robert's Rules of Orders, do all those things. I know that obviously some of my colleagues felt that Councilor Oliver was able to take on this role as council president. Obviously, he was the one who challenged me, but he obviously wasn't able to do that all last year. And it wasn't until our last meeting that former council president Carney had to help him out by sending a motion to this pilot committee. And even then, wasn't able to schedule a meeting. So I just, in that way, I felt that it would be better if he was able to be given the support that he needed to maybe shadow and learn a little bit more on how to do this role, as opposed to throwing him into the lion's den again.
I have one more question for you, and then we have a caller on hold that I think wants to ask you a question. But I have a question regarding the licensing board appointments that Mayor Mitchell is making. He is urging the council to actually take up this nomination tonight as opposed to referring it to appointments and briefings because of the fact that there isn't a quorum to be able to hold meetings of the licensing board and the fact that there's business before it, such as what happened with Morna Lounge a couple of weeks ago where, you know, the police chief had to step in and close them down because there was no licensing board available to hold a hearing. And as someone who is advocating for streamlining the process, can you foresee something like that happening tonight where somebody could be, especially somebody with the credentials of a Richard McHugh, could be approved tonight by the council as opposed to referring it to committee? Or do you prefer seeing that process play out?
I can't speak for all of my colleagues. As you know, as council president, I can't even speak from the dais, but I will say it's not my intention to approve any nomination tonight. I would, especially, you know, when we're talking about a board like the licensing board, for example, it has significant authority. It's a 6-year term, longer than the mayor's term. You know, we know that decisions made by such boards can have far-reaching impacts, often exceeding the authority of the city council. We know, we saw that with the NIT ban. You know, the city council has a duty to thoroughly screen all nominees. You know, while the mayor's track record of influencing boards and, you know, cherry-picking candidates is well-documented, our priority remains ensuring appointees are independent, qualified, and committed to serving New Bedford's best interests. Rushing this process would undermine our responsibility to the residents and businesses of New Bedford. You know, it's a bit frustrating to me to hear that the mayor is urging us to do this and putting it on our laps as though we have done something wrong. I think, you know, Tim, I'm a little disappointed that in your reporting that you didn't point out the fact that he's had these vacancies for more than 6 months now. You know, it's the way it's played out as though this is something that the council needs to react to because, you know, it's such a big deal. You know, mayor's office has known about this for, I'd have to look back, but it's been almost a year now.
But to be fair, we had a murder that happened in a barroom, and that forced the police chief to exercise an authority that he hasn't had to exercise before. So I can understand that urgency based on the recent events more so than just the process. That's just the way that I took it when he was urgent.
I understand that. And I think that, again, we can look and we can be reactionary in that moment. And we're handling, again, what occurred at the Morna Lounge. And we can have that discussion around that. But again, to put the blame on the city council and try to reframe the discussion around us having to force the work that we're doing. When, again, I want to point out, and I have to be careful with my wording here, because anytime I mention the fact that the city council is part time, it's used against me as though I'm saying that I can't handle the work. It's just that. It's just the fact of the matter that the mayor's office has a full, you know, arsenal of a team that works full time that can handle this workload. Meanwhile, the 11 of us are divided up where we're working during the day at our other job and then having to do this work at night and during the day. And so we are doing the best that we can to do the work. And the other part I want to point out is he announced on your radio, well, not your radio show, I think it was South Coast Today, about another nominee that he's putting forward, Jimmy D. Mm-hmm. That council has not been notified about this at all. It was, I guess, put out in a press release. So it's like this kind of behavior is just, you know, very disrespectful, but also very common of this administration where the council, which is the authority that approves these nominees, is finding out about these appointees on the radio. And then we're also being told, I'm urging you to do this. It's so important, but not important enough where I'm going to pick up the phone and call the council president or even the chair of appointments and briefing and tell you that I have a second nominee. Because I'll tell you, myself and also the chair of appointments and briefing, because we know how urgent this is, we've been discussing how do we get this done quickly. We both have stressed and urged, and I know then council president Naomi Carney during when this has been an issue, the licensing board, again, as I mentioned, for a lot longer than the past 3 months when Nick Monopoulos' emergency appointment, which again, the council waived the screening then to make sure the licensing board was functional. Because again, I want to emphasize Mayor Mitchell's poor management of our city's boards and commissions. You know, this is not his first time leaving a critical body like the licensing board completely disabled. And again, you know, we're talking about the licensing board today, but some may not realize we've had a similar issue with our Board of Health just last year. He also caused issues with the airport commission back when I believe he was first elected as mayor. You know, his assistance on appointing individuals who act as rubber stamps for his agenda has created barriers to finding qualified and independent candidates willing to serve. You know, New Bedford has many capable and eager residents ready to contribute, but this administration's need for control stifles their ability to serve effectively. But to finish off, what I was going to say was, we asked the administration why he was only sending one nominee at the time, in this case, Richard McHugh, and that was what we were told was, oh, well, they're having difficulty finding someone. But whenever we're at, when we ask people, well, you know, would you be interested in the licensing board? And people always say, well, we send our application in, and they never hear back from this administration. We're always told people are applying for our boards and commission, but that process is not transparent. So I would love to see why this administration doesn't allow the public to see how many applications they receive for the licensing board, for example, and why they're having such a difficulty finding the amount of people we have in New Bedford that are willing to be on that board. I think you'll realize that it's because this administration is looking for people who are going to, for example, issue out the NIP ban that they want so badly.
I know you've got to be somewhere at 9 a.m. Can you take a quick call before we let you go?
I can, yes.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Good morning, you're on with Council President Burgo.
Good morning. I was really trying to give Mr. Burgo a full chance. You know, you guys know, I really didn't agree with him becoming the city council president, but I'm only one man. And, you know, I figured, let's give this guy a chance. I'm listening to him here today, and oh, my God, are you going to be able to hold your head up? It's getting huge. Like, you're going to mentor the councilors. Let's talk about how you're treating people in the city, the mayor's administration. You're attacking Govea to the point where councils have to step in and you know, apologize. Like, this is ridiculous. You're going to mentor councilors now? You didn't even read the TAC report yet. We're still waiting for that meeting, Burgo. Like, people are freezing outside, and you haven't even had the nerve to read the TAC report. You are a joke.
All right, let's let him respond.
Yeah, thank you for that call, Carlos. I really appreciate it. I know how much you support me and how much you give me so much of a chance. I don't know how to respond to that. He's just another vocal critic of mine. I'm going to just continue doing the work of the people of New Bedford like I've always done, and my work speaks for itself.
All right. Thank you, Carlos. We're going to hold you there just in the interest of time.
Yep.
And we will have you in here, though, taking calls on a regular basis, Council President Burgo. We had a conversation yesterday about when that's going to work, so I'll let you make the announcement of when you'll be in.
Yeah, so I appreciate you being very accommodating, especially today. So I'm very excited that we will begin our weekly interviews in studio, so I can take more calls from amazing Fall River residents like Carlos Felix. Starting February 3rd, we're going to be doing Mondays at 8 a.m. Every week, except for, I guess, on certain Mondays that fall on a holiday, and I guess we'll announce those.
Yeah, it'll probably just be like Labor Day, Memorial Day. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and we'll adjust accordingly. But I think starting off our week, you know, Mondays can sometimes be a drag, but we'll have fun that way on those Mondays to jumpstart our week and learn about some of the council business that might have happened the week before or what we have going on the week ahead.
Excellent. Well, and that's going to start in February, right? The first Monday in February?
Correct, yeah. So Monday, February 3rd is what I have here as the first day in February.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. You have a great day, Tim.
You as well. And we do have the ability for you to call in still at 508-996-0500, even though the council president has to go. He made me aware ahead of time that he has a hard out because he's got somewhere he's got to be, but he'll be back on February 3rd to start answering your questions on a weekly basis. Let me take this call here before I got to take a break. Phil Devitt is not in this morning. He was unable to make it in, but everything's okay. But we don't have the news that we have to worry about here at 8:30, so we can take a call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
So Shane's left?
Yes, he has to be somewhere for 9 o'clock.
Wow, that was the person I was trying to call in because I'm the tellman. My name is Paul, by the way. I live on Ashley. And, I was calling him up about that. He was talking about doing something with the Rational Building.
I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. It just sounds like you're a little too far away.
I'm sorry. Hold on, please. I apologize.
Yeah, no problem.
Can you hear me better?
I can.
Yeah, I was calling about the correctional building on Ash Street, what he was going to do with it, and I've been hearing that they were trying to turn it into a homeless shelter, per se.
So I can tell you what was discussed here on the radio about it, and that was with Sheriff Hero. You're talking about the sheriff's home. The one that's
yes.
Next. Yeah. So what Sheriff Hero said, and we got into this a little bit with Council President Burgo when he was in before, but we can certainly talk about it more with him when he comes back on February 3rd. So this was just kind of the germ of an idea between Councilor Burgo, well, Council President now Burgo, and Sheriff Hero about creating a reentry facility there with offices to help people find jobs and give them training and then have a few beds on the second floor. But it's not an actual plan. Sheriff Hero was quick to point out that it's just an idea that they had kicked around.
Right. Hey, you know what? I'm all for the plan, but in that particular area, and I know you know this, it's just a bad choice. I mean, we got a city that has buildings that are closed down, other places, like I said, Packer, just other places and stuff. To have that, I give the neighbors, the owners that own a building there, a break so they can make something. And I do hear you saying about moving, and I'm one of the people that are fixing up the house to move out of the city of New Bedford. I like New Bedford. It's just, I don't want to see what's coming up.
Well, let me ask you, what makes it a bad idea? What do you see as the negatives of that?
Living there, because I live there, my friend, I'll make a short story, a long story short. I lived there a few years ago. They turned a house on a corner into a sober house. All right? We didn't have the opportunity to petition or anything. It happened. Within 2 months' time, our neighborhood was upside down. And there was, when I went to complain about it, they told me there's not much you can do because it had something to do with federal. I didn't listen to that because it had to be closed down. So what I did in the neighborhood did, that's just complaints we could do. We did, and eventually, not because of us, they're doing, they're closing it down. The sad thing is, at the end of, before they closed it down, there was a gentleman that was killed there.
Well,
he was killed. He was thrown off the third floor window and killed over a tattoo.
So from my understanding, people that live in a sober home, they can just hang around there all day if that's what they choose to do. They can just hang around, and there's nothing that really can be done about that. At least in what Sheriff Hero was talking to Chris McCarthy about, that wouldn't be what this facility would be. It would be there were beds there if they needed a place to stay, but that they weren't just going to, lay around all day and do nothing. They had to be utilizing the services.
We stopped them from hanging out, and the next thing you know, we were dealing with people that we had to be picked up in the morning with different buses and detox programs and every beep in the hall. If you cured one thing, another thing would happen. And an establishment like that, that correctional building, I can't even begin to tell you how many people are going to be walking out. You can only control so much, And I just hope to God that that ends up being off the table. And by the way, it's a pleasure to hear you every morning.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Yes, it's a pleasure. God bless. Bye-bye.
And I will say, as I said there, it's not even a plan. It's just something that's been discussed. And I would actually kind of guess that Sheriff Hero probably feels like, well, maybe I shouldn't have said anything yet until we have a more firm plan, because it's just led to a lot of speculation as to what that would entail. But I would guess, and this is just my assumption, that if that was a plan that was going to be looked into more deeply, that there would be plenty of time for the neighborhood to have their input heard and to have them, have their fears addressed and their concerns addressed. But to me, it sounds, at least the way that Sheriff Hero was characterizing it, I went back and listened multiple times to what he was saying about it. And it seems to me like it's less akin to a sober home and more akin to, say, the what's the word I'm looking for? Unemployment office. So it's less about like being a place to live and to flop at, and it's more about a place that's going to be like, come in here, we have computers, we're going to train you, we're going to be able to help you apply for those jobs to make sure that you're living up to what the conditions are of your release. So it sounds like it's more of that, and that the bed aspect was just something they were going to utilize with the second floor. I bet you if you said to Sheriff Haro, there's a lot of concerns from the neighbors about this happening, his immediate response would be like, well, we still want to have the services available. We won't have the beds. If that's what people are concerned about, we're just going to turn it into a place for people to come and utilize the resources to be able to find jobs so that they don't reoffend because they have no other way of earning a living. I see Mary's on hold. Mary, hold on. Let me just take this one break, and then we'll get to you as soon as we come back because I'm already behind. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. We're going to go right back to the phones in a moment. 508-996-0500. But really quick, I want to let you know that coming up on Saturday, this coming Saturday, January 25th, is Customer Appreciation Day at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. All day Saturday, you're going to get 10% off your purchases. Now, there are some beer items, lottery, cigarettes, food, and candy that will not apply to this discount. But generally, everything else besides that, 10% off your purchases all day. It's their Customer Appreciation Day at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Also want to let you know that they will be closed for inventory on Sunday, January 26th and Monday, January 27th. So make sure you get in there. See, that's why they're making it 10% off, because if you come in and you buy it all, it's less that they have to count on Sunday and Monday, right? But no, take advantage of that. 10% off all day Saturday, the Customer Appreciation Day at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And of course, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. All right, let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Well, hi.
Morning.
Very interesting this morning on the radio. I was in a place where I couldn't use the phone, but I'd like to start with that Nazi salute. Mm-hmm. First of all, I have to say that I haven't seen it yet because I'm into so many other things, but I will get to it. But I can still say something about it. If it was a real genuine Nazi salute, do you think it was?
So it appears to me that what he did was completely intentional. Now, whether or not you want to say, he meant it as a Nazi salute, or if he meant it to trigger people just to get them to talk about him, as he's known to do, definitely knew what he was doing. He put a fist to his chest and then stuck his arm straight out at a 45-degree angle with his fingers extended and his hand pointed out flat.
Okay, so I'll have this to say then.
And he did it twice.
Yeah, well, if that's exactly what it was, then it's not good. But I don't say shoot him or hang him. I mean, okay, he did it. It is wrong, and I'm surprised that you didn't like that. Okay, do I have to explain that? I'm surprised you didn't like it.
Yeah, you do have to explain it.
Okay, because usually you're against anything that I don't like, and I don't like it, and you don't like it. So that's kind of confusing to me.
I think we're in agreement that neither one of us like Nazis, Mary.
Okay.
Especially since I'm Jewish, you know?
Yeah, well, one time you said people think I'm Jewish and I'm not.
Well,
you don't remember saying that?
I'm Jewish heritage-wise. I'm not Jewish religious-wise.
Yeah, well, come on. That's playing with words now.
No, it's not. I'm culturally Jewish. I come from Jewish heritage. But I don't practice Judaism.
I'm happy no matter what you are.
Thank you.
Isn't that nice about me?
Yes.
That prison thing again. We're still talking about that. Listen. They need to give the people what the people want. Why can't we vote on this about that prison?
I mean, I don't know I don't know if that won't be something that is an avenue that's taken for it. I mean, it's too early in the process to know exactly how they'll execute the plan.
But I mean, that's the job of the city people down at the city hall that do what they want instead of give the people what they want. And people who live in that area, they don't want that. When there are so many other
places. Here's the catch in that scenario is that it's a county-owned building that's owned by the sheriff's department for the purposes of jailing and rehabilitating prisoners. So it's not changing the purpose that it's already been given. It's just changing the methodology of how they do that.
It's the neighbors in that area that this is their chance to get rid of it now. So you just want to turn it into something else. And the fact alone that it's for people that have been in jail, come on, it's not a good idea. When there are other places, why does it have to be there? They could turn that into something different. Okay, I don't want to use all my time with that.
That sounds very NIMBY, but go ahead.
AI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been hearing from the beginning. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the Stargate thing, but I've been hearing everything that they've been putting out, a lot of stuff about how, you know, if you get cancer and they can circle around knowing exactly what kind of cancer you have and what kind of treatment you need to cure you and all that. Okay, if that's good, but there's also a lot of bad that can be created by that. Sometimes you're looking at photos now or videos, you don't even know if they're real or not. It's very confusing. And I think if it's going to do more bad than good, we shouldn't have it at all. I think it's going to wreak havoc everywhere. It's going to create a lot of havoc. Shouldn't be there.
Well, not to get too deep into it in the time that we have, but we can certainly pick it up another time. But how do you feel about the suggestion of an mRNA vaccine against cancer when, you know, people were against an mRNA vaccine for COVID?
Yeah, no, I don't like that. I don't go for vaccines at all. You don't know me yet? No vaccines.
Well, that's why I asked you, because I know your stance on vaccines. Yeah.
No. Now, you had the boogeyman on your show. Now, you're the one that gave him that name.
No. Let me clarify. Shane Burgo is not the boogeyman. The things people were saying about him were the boogeymen. Boogeymen weren't people. They were ideas.
You called him Burgo Boogie. You did that.
No, I called the things that people were saying the Burgo boogeyman. I called things like a tent city. And that's
Oh, you're trying to get around it now. That's good, because you dance around a lot of things.
I can't help it if you didn't comprehend the way that I was saying it, but that's what I was talking about.
No. And Carlos calling in. Carlos Pimentel Felix needs to call in every single day, because that man is spot on with everything he says and does.
Pretty
all
much
his
does.
Videos, all good. He needs to call every single day. I'm happy about that. But yeah, Mr. Burgo, I mean, he's in there now. Why didn't we get any sand in New Bedford? Could he have done something about that? Where was the money going? I'm putting a lot of quarters in those meters downtown. Where were those quarters going? Couldn't we have one sand barrel in the city? We have always had it. What happened to make it change? What happened? I want to know.
All right, well, we'll find out.
All right, if I ever get the line when he's in. You know, same thing with the freaking mayor.
He
needs to be gone.
I hope we don't have any more snow where we have to worry about it, but we'll find out.
I don't think we're going to have it. I refuse it, and I don't want it, and it's not coming.
There's another thing we agree on, Mary. No snow.
All right. Have a good day.
You as well. I see Skeddy's on hold. Skeddy, hang on. Let me take this break, because I am behind. I want to make sure I get caught up. We'll be back in a few moments. All right. We're going to go back to the phones. Before we do that, though, really quickly, let me tell you about my friends over at M&M Hay and Feed, a store unlike any other, or at least unlike any other that are still around today. But when you walk in there and you walk around the store, you're going to feel like you've stepped back in time. Not because they only sell old stuff that you don't need, but because they have an old school approach. They have service. They have delivery. They have knowledge and know-how. So you can go to the big box stores and get a bunch of stuff. And what are you going to get when you go there? You're going to get a high school kid or, a retiree or somebody that's like, I don't know. I've never done that. Let me see if I can find somebody that knows. When you go to M&M Hay and Feed, they've got the institutional knowledge. They know all the products that they have there, and they can make sure you have the right tool for the job, the right item for the job, or maybe a different way to do it that you never even thought of. Plus, all of your feed and grain needs, everything from the giant bags to just a single pound, if that's all you want to get. You know, this time of year, maybe you only want to buy a bag of a pound of bird feed rather than a whole 50-pound bag that the bears are going to get into on your porch. All of those things and more, all at M&M Hay and Feed. Check them out. They're on Cove Road in South Dartmouth. And you can also share with all of your friends that have backyard farms, or maybe you have a backyard farm. Let them know. That's where they can get their chickens, their laying hens, their turkeys, hay, everything else they could possibly need. All right, I'm going to try and get to these phone calls here in the time that we have left. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Me?
I hope so. Sounds like you.
Well, sort of. I'm still late. Raspy and getting a little, I don't know what, full of phlegm. I hate using that word, but I don't blame.
Well, I'm gonna force you to talk quickly, because we're up against another break, and I don't want you to have to strain your voice too much.
Yeah, you're killing me with this, but Mary, Hail Mary, Queen Mary. Everything she talked about is exactly what I wanted to talk about. Donald Trump, I wish everybody would go back, and I want you to do this if you can. I know you're wicked busy. But when Elon Musk kept doing that and pointing up, it's because Donald Trump was talking about we're going to be the first to go to Mars. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Elon Musk put his fist pumped his heart and put his hand up to the heavens because
rockets. That's not true.
That have been going up there.
That's not true. Did you watch the entire clip?
Listen.
He made no mention of Mars.
He was talking. Listen, Donald Trump had a lot to say. By the time he ended his speech, there was things about space being talked about. By the time he was done
defending a Nazi.
I don't think so. I just think everybody's reading into this the wrong way. I don't know. I'm not on Twitter, so I can't see his Twitter feed. I'm not on Facebook. I don't like that. I'm not saying to everybody out there that that's nonsense. That's good. That's good for you. But for me, just send me a picture where you're at and where you're going. That's all I need to know. But so I don't know about the gentleman that called in and said it was he's got a Nazi Twitter feed. I don't know. I really thought that that was him saying, yeah, straight to the heavens, straight to the planets and stuff. That's my take on it. I just wanted to share my take on it, Tom.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
And I just have one other thing to say.
Okay.
He really didn't explain why Sean Oliver has nothing. He really never answered. He danced around that question that you asked him.
Oh, I think that was a pretty straightforward answer. He said he didn't think he could, basically he said he didn't think he could handle it. I think that's a pretty straightforward answer.
That's his thought. Was that thought shared with other council people and they all agreed?
He doesn't have to. He's the council president. He's the one who decides who's on committees.
And I know why he gave Leo a committee, because he knows Leo, this is a fierce, World One is fierce. And, I think he just stepped over. He had to step over one of the, he had to. I feel like he did that facetiously.
See, I feel like it was a very strong answer. So I think we have two different approaches. I was surprised that he said what he said. I didn't think he'd go that far. But we're going to play it again. Chris asked me if I can cue it up so that he can play it during his show.
Awesome. And I just want to say, never mind. I won't.
You hold whatever it is for tomorrow and we'll talk then.
For tomorrow. About everybody take care of your health. If you feel like something's wrong, it really might be what you think.
All right.
Don't hesitate. And AI is a stinky way to go. My healthcare provider, my primary care physician, asked me last year to sign paperwork saying I want that. I said, no, I don't. And he got mad. He told me, you're going to make me do a lot of paperwork. Well, then that's what you do. You got to sit there and do a lot of paperwork. You have the right to have AI compute everything to your primary care physician, but you also have a right every year, even though you're with the same primary care physician, every year you have the right to decline that. And I say, please do decline it.
All right. I got to hold you there. I got to take this final break. You have a good day.
Thank you, Tim.
All right. Take care. All right. We got to get this break in. Hang on. We'll be back in just a few moments.